There wasn't any tenderness or any foreplay. She simply dropped her panties in the dirt and quickly unzipped Ryan's pants, cool fingers reaching hotly for him. The second time was nearly as quick. Sharona was so hot to Boogie that Ryan barely managed to reach his own climax before she was hustling him for seconds.
Sit down, lover. Quick, before those two bastards come and catch us.
She pulled his trousers to his ankles, waiting impatiently while he sat down, back against the wall. Sharona stood astride him, the heels of her suede boots easing his legs farther apart. The hem of her short skirt was only inches away from his eyes, and for a moment he considered leaning forward and using his tongue.
Nuh-uh! Keep still, let me move.
Sharona lowered herself onto him, impaling herself on his swollen maleness. Her gold leather jacket was open. She shrugged it off so that he could admire the way her nipples thrust hard at the silver satin of the tight blouse. She rose and fell, eyes squeezed shut, as she lost herself in her own pleasure. Ryan put his arms around her waist, steadying himself, preventing her from moving so fast that she risked losing him. The trader's joke about it being a dirty job came back to him at that moment. Two factors kept Ryan from giving himself up to the delight of their coupling. One was his straining to hear the sound of the two-wheel wags coming along the dirt road toward the ruined ranch, and the other was his awareness that the grandfather of all storms was raging in toward them. He'd taken the precaution of wheeling his Norton into an angle between the walls of the main building, where it would get some protection. But Sharona's chopped hog was out in the open, not far from the river.
Come on, you son of a bitching bastard, Ryan! Give it all! Oh!
Her head was thrown back, the cords in her throat standing out as if she were being throttled. Knowing he wasn't going to get there, Ryan concentrated on sustaining his erection to avoid disappointing the gasping woman. Outside, over her heaving shoulders, he could see that sunlight had disappeared and the day had become dusk. Sand swirled around, and the door was swinging back and forth in the howling wind. She began kissing him on the lips, the face, his good eye, his neck, his forehead, tiny nibbling kisses that kept him roused.
Oh, dear. Dear, that was wonderful. Again. We gotta do it again. We got time.
No, Sharona!
Yes, don't worry about the segment. They won't get here, please. Please, please. Please, come on. Anything you want. I'll be so, so good for you.
Sharona! God damn it, the storm!
You can be the Baron of Taos, Ryan, with me to help you.
She started to move again, rising and falling, making him stir with arousal.
What did you say?
You and me, Ryan. You're man enough to take him out.
Take him? The Baron?
Chill him, lover.
She was lost in the moment, nearly frantic, one hand stroking his face, sliding her index finger into the corner of his mouth. But Ryan shifted away from her touch.
No. You want me to chill Elias Carson for you? That it?
Yes. Yes. Chill him. I'll arrange it. No risk. He doesn't even have a blaster. Do it, lover. And you'll have me for always. And all the power. And all the jack. All of it.
Ryan closed his good eye, blinded by the dust. When he opened it again, moments later, he stared straight into the muzzle of McMurtry's blaster. Smitty stood behind him outside the door, also holding an automatic pistol.
Where's this business, Ryan?
Yeah, we heard what you said and we seen what you done. What you're still doing by the look of it.
Ryan, with Sharona Carson sitting astride him, knew that this was as close to death as he'd come for a long, long while. Either the Sekhmen chilled them both now, or they got taken back to Taos. The latter might give him some sort of a chance.
Do it now, Mac, or take him back for the Baron. Which?
God damn! This fucking dust is murder! I don't much like the idea of having to watch this one-eyed son of a bitch all the way back to the mill. Guess it looks like now!
That was the same decision that Ryan would have taken if their respective positions had been reversed. Now was generally best, and safest. The hut was about 10 feet square, The mattress where he sat, back against the wall, took up about a third of the space. The door was still stuck wide open, sending spiraling fountains of red dust into the crowded room. Sharona, her back to the intruders, hadn't said a word, seeming paralyzed with shock. She slumped forward, her left hand at her face. The right was on the blind side, clutching oddly at her ankle, just inside the soft top of the suede boot. Peering through the fog of sand, Ryan tried to make out what kind of blasters the two Sekhmen were carrying, but his eye was prickling and tears filled it. All he could see was that they were both hefting standard 38s. At a range of 6 feet, it didn't much matter.
Ready!
Sharona turned around at last, staring up at the Sekhmen.
Any use offering you any jack?
Jack would buy us good graves with real pretty coffins, brass handles and all. Won't buy us life if the Baron got to hear about what you said and done.
If Ryan killed him, then you'd be safe.
Her right hand was reaching for Ryan's fingers, as though she sought the comfort of a human touch in the final seconds of life.
Nobody can kill Baron Alias Carson! Man lives forever and ever!
Amen to that!
Please, please! You can both have me if you just let me go! Don't kill me! Just kill Ryan!
Now her hand was locked into Ryan's hand, and he could feel what she was holding.
You don't have nothing other sluts don't have. Not enough to buy the farm for. No! This is it!
Sharona passed Ryan the knife, short, with a very heavy blade, shaped like a broad leaf. The slender hilt felt like carved bone to Ryan's fingers. McMurtry was partly hidden by Sharona, but Smitty was a little to the left, his grinning face and raggy beard hanging over the barrel of the blaster. Hampered by the woman, and with an unfamiliar blade, Ryan knew that he had to go for the ace on the line throw. That meant the throat. Bracing his legs and pushing Sharona directly at McMurtry, Ryan simultaneously flicked the small knife towards Smitty's neck, not waiting to see how successful the throw was. Sharona sprawled on her back, legs wide apart, arms clawing toward McMurtry. He staggered a couple of paces, banging his shoulder against the door, jarring it loose.
Fuck!
Chips of adobe flew from the wall by Ryan's shoulder, peppering him with the sharp splinters. A tiny fraction of Ryan's fighting brain was conscious of how vulnerable he was, with his pants down and sand stinging the exposed flesh. Hobbled, Ryan barely reached the Sekhmen, his hand snatching at McMurtry's groin. He locked his fingers into the softness and tore at it with all his strength. The Sekhmen tore himself free, stumbling and falling halfway through the door. Ryan chopped with the edge of his right hand at McMurtry's unprotected groin, feeling the jar as he pulped the genitals against the ridge of the pubic bone. The man's knees came up in an involuntary reaction, and his whole body went into a shocked muscular spasm. Ryan knew that the Sekhmen wouldn't be taking any interest in things for a while, and he turned his attention to Smitty. The fat man was kneeling against the far wall, sand smearing his sweating face. The ivory hilt of the throwing knife was stuck in the side of his fleshy neck, blood leaking fast. The pistol had fallen from his fingers, and he was fumbling for it with his left hand, while the right hand touched the hilt of the knife cautiously, as though he feared he would hasten his own passing if he was clumsy. Sharona lay where McMurtry had kicked her, doubled over, eyes shut tight. Ryan snatched a moment to hoist and buckle his own pants. Then he stepped across to Smitty. The Sekhmen squinted up at him through glazing eyes. His lips moved, but Ryan couldn't hear a sound from the dying man. Ryan stooped and picked up the blaster, throwing it into the corner of the hut. Smitty was rocking slowly back and forth, head moving from side to side. Eventually the knife would take his life, but Ryan wasn't about to stand there waiting. He bunched his right fist and struck a single lethal blow to the side of the Sekhmen's neck, just below and behind the right ear. Smitty slumped on his face, legs twitching, fingers scrabbling in the piled sand. Sharona had recovered enough to drag the semi-conscious figure of McMurtry completely inside the hut, gesturing to Ryan to close the flapping door and shut out the hurricane. As he threw all of his weight against the heavy oak door, Ryan glimpsed a scene from hell. The trees of the river were folded double, all of their leaves stripped by the demonic gale. Visibility fluctuated between 40 yards and zero. With a great effort, Ryan braced his shoulder against the door and forced it shut, slamming the bolt. A tiny barred window of thick glass set near the ceiling provided murky light, enough for him to see Sharona bending over the figure of McMurtry.
What are you doing?
Making sure, lover.
She'd drawn the ivory-hilted throwing knife from the neck of Smitty's corpse, and placed the point inside McMurtry's left ear where he lay in the dirt. The white bone handle was smeared with Smitty's blood. It stood there, like a marine creature probing at the interior of a shell, moving slightly in time with the heavy breathing of McMurtry.
Now what?